You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You're now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. We are 3/5 of a crew, but we still doing what we do. I tried to get a bar in there.
There you go. Not bad, not bad.
The voice you just heard is my man Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, you know. I can see clearly now.
Okay.
That the rain and fog is gone?
Yeah. No, that I went that, you know, being a new old head, part of the name is old head, I had to go to the eye doctor and get right. So, you know, from the year and a half since I got my last checkup, you know, change in prescription hit a little harder. So, you know.
I just caught from a 1-800, well, they ain't giving us a check, but I copped some new ones and I feel better.
Oh, no, like I needed a new prescription.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't no just getting, you know, a new pair of contacts. Like I, you know,
when it changed.
Well, this is another thing that'll let you know, hey, you know, slow down, fam. You're not young like you used to be. It was like, have you ever thought about getting reading glasses? I was like, no, but now that you mention it, that'd probably be helpful.
Father Tom is undefeated. My man DJ J Diff sitting in the Robert Townsend chair. How are you, sir? Hey,
salutations, man. You know, yeah. I'm just working on my Emmy side. Shout out to Lone, you know.
Shout out to the homie Longevity.
Get my production on a little bit.
You might mess around and get you a nomination or something. You keep moving all these buttons and stuff, brother.
I'll take one of them gold ladies with the wings and
you gonna bring it back and rock with us, or you just gonna be selfish and take it back to the crib?
Nah, it's gonna sit right here on the
in front of you.
I mean, it's gonna sit. It's gonna be our.
So we can all soak it up. I got you.
This is a group effort.
That's big of you, man. I appreciate that. I was thinking something else.
Of course.
Yeah, David, I saw that. Rest in peace to them young brothers from Virginia, man.
That was terrible.
Former player that
it was a
shot
former
all three
player
of those kids.
Who shot all three of the former.
And those were three players.
Active players.
Wow. Come on, man.
I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, condolences to them young brothers, man, because I saw the pictures of the young man, and I don't even want to stay on that too long, but condolences to them brothers and to their family.
You know what? And the thing is, we always got to show a shout out to Hurricane G.
Okay.
Yeah, he passed last week.
No, she passed.
Yeah,
Man from the Artifacts.
That's what I'm thinking.
He was 52. Tame one,
and Hurricane G both passed last week.
And the thing is, it happened so quickly. Like, I literally found out about both of those deaths probably about 20 minutes from each other. I'm like, come on, man. What's going on?
I forgot to mention it, but thanks for bringing that up because that should be brought up.
You know,
salute for bringing that up.
You know, and of course, we talked about this, but they had the memorial for Takeoff.
Yeah. Yep.
This week, and it's once again just sad.
We're gonna talk about. I got a topic I picked out that it ain't gonna necessarily be about that, but we'll get into it. But David asked about. I think it was David that asked about King's disease. Was it David? I listened. I didn't run through all of it. I'm close to the end. But from what I heard, it's fire. And this will actually lead into our first topic, but they have a great chemistry, man. I think they're 3 for 3, but
they're four for four.
Is it four? For with the little
did EP. Magic? No, Magic with a full album.
Was that what, 9?
I mean, it's still 4 projects.
Yeah.
Okay, so four projects, right?
I remember we got that right before Christmas. It was
so
nice,
we'll call it 4 for 4, but I guess it'll vary like anything does. But I can't call any of those projects trash. None of them.
No,
absolutely not.
So
this is why. See, and this is when. If you're still one of those people who's on that, man, Nas can't pick beats. I was like, all right, you think about
King's Disease. That should be over with.
King's Disease 1, 2, and 3, Magic, and if you even want to go back to Life is Good, like, if you're still running with that trope that Nas can't pick beats, like, you are just a lazy hip-hop fan.
You just don't want to like Nas. Like, yeah. I literally seen somebody make a post about it saying that, and Hit Boy didn't even do this one. It's like, yes, he did. That's their
the whole
series.
Point.
I don't see how y'all like this. Only for New York people. For people that keep stating it's only for New York people in 2022,
you have to have a serious disconnect with hip hop if you think it's just for New York.
These are
people.
The same people that are championing Future as the greatest rapper of all time. Like, and I'm not. This ain't even a joke.
But those are the people that also we pretty much don't have nothing to talk about.
Well, no,
as it relates to music.
I mean, and it's a lot of it's people listen to hip hop for. Like, there are people who are like, when I listen to certain artists, I'd be like, okay, what's going to work in the club or whatever? But it's not how I listen to Nas.
Right.
I listen to the lyrics. I love to see how people, if I could pick up samples, I'm actually in it for the sport of hip-hop. Rapping and hip hop. You know, there's some people like, I'm not listening to, like, there's records I've listened to when I hear them in the club. I was like, oh, I can't believe they said that because it's either really funny or really stupid.
Man, you said a mouthful.
You know, when I listen to, and don't get me wrong, I'll be like, oh my goodness,
let me make sure I heard that right. Wait, you said it's either really funny or it's really stupid.
Because I don't listen like
that
for club records. I'm going off of what's a vibe,
yeah.
What I think will work as far as like at 1:30 in the morning when people have had a couple of cups of that brown juice and what's going to get the ladies on the floor. I'm not listening for wordplay.
Let me give y'all a prime example, and then we can jump into your dig. As it relates to artists that you would call, I guess, quote unquote, a vibe artist, right? Mm-hmm. It's just got a good vibe, picks dope production. I think Currency is one of those, but Currency can actually rap when he get locked in. I think the epitome of one of those artists is Larry June.
Larry June is tight.
I don't think Larry June is close to being a great MC or any of that, but
Larry June has content though. His content matter is one that is kind of balanced on some pimp player type stuff.
You're right,
but it's also balanced in well-being and health as well.
I say that to say. The way that he, you talk about somebody that can pick production,
mm-hmm.
and then turn it into dope records, like a good vibe.
Absolutely,
he's the epitome of that to me because I know what I'm getting with him. My backpack is not on when I'm listening to Larry June. I'm trying to chill. It's just a vibe.
I mean, it's West Coast all
day. I'm biased to West Coast, so I'll say that. But the way that he executes that, he's the epitome of an artist to me. That's just a vibe. Like, that's
it's
him.
An absolute vibe, yes.
Yeah, and he pulls it off consistently, bro. You know what I mean? Like, Larry June is dope. Shout out to my homie Charlie. He put me on to him. He's got heat. That last project he dropped, the production and you know, the way he was on it.
Yeah. Brother to the Night actually dropped a mixtape that's Larry June heavy.
Shout out to Brother to the Night. Yeah.
Okay, like, you know, when I say, like, I'll hear something. And, like, there are records I've heard hundreds of times, and, like, then it was all of a sudden I'll just realize what they said. There's a Gucci Mane record, The Lemonade.
Yeah.
And I remember because I was in the club heavy when that song was out. And then I heard the lyrics in the car one day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, like I said, it was funny to me because I had listened all this. I never really paid attention to what he said. He said, use a yellow back, AK hit your dog. Now you can't bring old yellow back. And I just started laughing out loud. I'd heard this song at least 150 times. But, you know, there's certain things in commercial records because their records, I know the hook. I don't know anything else in the rest of the song. I don't know none of Future's lyrics. And, like, I know it seems like we pick on Future.
Yeah. Future's,
you know,
I'm trying to, if anybody's trying to catch the wave, if anybody has a surfboard and is trying to jump into the water.
On Future?
Yeah, and figure this out, man. I'm missing the current every
time.
But
I get it because once again, the hooks work.
Yeah.
The beats work. So I understand why Future's music works, but it's like I can't sit here and
not goat talk work
and talk about. I don't know that record. I don't know that. Yeah. Like I said, we're not here to pick on Future, but I'm just saying, like, I can't think of a Future quotable. You know what I'm saying?
There are joints, though.
Chicken wings and fries. No, we don't go on dates. Like, that's about it.
He has some joints. I'm more so speaking of his fan base
and how they rank him or where he's placed. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay. Because I know some people that say Future the GOAT, Future the GOAT, Future the GOAT. I'm like, okay. And they not that much younger. They not that much younger than us now.
Some of them are our peers.
Yeah. Thank you. That's what I meant. Yeah. That's what I want to make sure. It ain't like I'm picking on young folks. I know people that's my age is like, man, you just don't get it, man. You need to just being old. I'm like, fam, we grew up together. What are you talking about?
No, I mean, some of those people are just still trying to be young. Like, and like I said, I put these playlists together. I get it, man. But I'm just, you know. Like, you cannot compare certain things to certain things.
Nah. You just can't.
You cannot. There are some people who are making art, and there are some people who are making products.
And certain people, you can exist in either realm. Like, it ain't like you got to be one or other. You can
Nas
still
has made products.
Or you can have a balance. If you can... I don't understand why people act like they can't dip their water in the hot tub and the regular swimming pool.
So 21 Savage says that Nas is no longer relevant, but he has a loyal fan base. That's the only reason people still check for him. Over the years, I've said repeatedly that this happens. And when I saw this, I laughed so hard because it validates and gives me at least one flower on the stuff that I've told y'all about over and over again. When I said the Rolling Stones don't go through this, Eric Clapton don't go through this. This is a hip hop isolated incident from what I see. When people say, oh man, he's just old. It's just older people. It's his fan base. He's not relevant. And I'm like, no. This mug was, to me, this was way off.
Yeah.
Way off. Like, this is not it. And I've said this over and over again. Only in hip hop do I see this. So I just give me a flower.
It's not all the way true. Back in the day, Nirvana and Metallica had some beef.
That might have been personal, though.
They had beef with, like, there's been some issues with younger artists and the Rolling Stones.
No. I'm not talking about beef. I'm talking about kind of.
Well, I mean, I'm not really talking about beef.
Well,
per se.
Yeah, I said the wrong word. You're right. I'm not saying beef. I'm talking about any discrepancies. I'm talking about just actually how you're looking at them for their status, for where they are. Like, it's old. Like, they just old, and the reason they popular is because they old. Nobody denounces the legendary groups like that in other genres, in my opinion.
Well, kind of, sort of, maybe not as much, but I think it comes down to one of those things where we pay attention to hip-hop more.
I've heard you say that before.
It applies to this, too, so it's on our radar. I know it happens in other realms of music, too, but it's just not, you know what I'm saying, it's not part of our...
The culture that we're in,
business,
or we follow.
You know what I'm
saying?
Where maybe it doesn't happen as much. I don't know. But it still happens.
I don't think it happens nearly as much as it happens in the culture of hip hop. That's always been my opinion. I stand on it. I just don't see it. You'd have to show me multiple
you
examples.
You don't see it, exactly.
But that's what I'm saying. You'd have to show me examples to, you know, verify. We can find them for days in hip hop culture. You can just run around the corner and see somebody called Jay-Z and Nas old. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they need to sit down somewhere. That type of verbiage is what I'm talking about. Jay Moore, what are your thoughts, man? Because, you know, I've been on this mountain from day one. I'm not jumping off. This just actually validates what I've always said.
Well, no, this is the crazy thing, because 21 Savage contradicted himself.
Okay.
In his statement, it was like, well, you know, he's just got a loyal fan base. Uh-huh. Well, isn't that what makes you relevant?
Example one, yep.
You know, and...
And then the other example we said.
What's the other one?
He makes good-ass music.
Thank you.
So how do you say that?
You know, I mean, it's like... And the thing is, like, sometimes you can get to running off at the mouth just because, like, you know, okay, you got a number one album mm-hmm. that you participated 25% of the time with Drake right now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Sassy I said what Drake. I said.
Is that Sassy your percentage?
Drake. It's a Drake album with a couple of 21 Savage verses.
What? I still haven't listened, but that's your percentage?
I listen to the album, so I know what I'm talking about.
All right.
You know,
right.
It's a Drake album with, okay. You know, this isn't a 50-50.
Okay.
You know.
They bill it as a joint album.
Yeah, that's what they do. and, you know, you got a lot of times with, you know, it was kind of a subliminal thing, because when I posted on my social media about our show tonight, the song I put it under there was Brand Nubians, Don't Let It Go to Your Head. Because the thing is, like, you could be the man today, or you could be the man for a season.
Yeah.
You know, because this is 21 Savage
or
season.
Or you can get deported tomorrow.
You know.
Wow.
Hey, man. In fact, Foreigner's been talking real spicy.
Yeah, man.
Between Drake and 21, we might have to get them folks involved and
Come
see what's
on,
going
man.
On. But
I stay out of grown folks' business.
But in all serious, like, just because you are having your season right now,
yeah,
you know, you wake up. I mean, you know, we talked about it with the baby. I don't think it's as extreme as really what a lot of people are making it out to be. You know, you might be getting the 5-star treatment, and you know, everyone loves you right now. But then when it's over, it's over. And like, you may not have even done enough. Now, I'm not going to say this for 21 Savage, because he has done a significant amount. Compared
Definitely.
To the other freshmen in his class.
I don't want to see that versus, by the way.
But what I'm saying is, You like the first time I heard Nas was like 92 when Halftime came out. You know,
Live at the Barbecue.
Oh yeah, so we can go for it. So now we're talking about. I think I can't remember which one. Yeah, I think Live at Barbecue hit first. So now you're talking about Illmatic came out in 94, but you're talking about Nas being 30 years deep
he
in the game.
He said 30 summers on the album.
Yeah. So
absolutely,
you need to watch your mouth talking about Boy. Somebody who is still relevant, putting out music that is worth discussing 30 years later. When you once again, you having a nice little run right now, but it doesn't take much for you to wake up one day and it's over. And people are like, oh, remember when we used to listen to 21 Savage?
If anything, Hit Boy, Nas is smart to me because he attached himself to a dope up and coming producer and they made
Hit Boy. Hit Boy been here though.
He has, but I'm talking about for me, when I follow producers a lot, I've known of Hit Boy. Right, I've known that he's dope.
You can't call him an up and coming producer.
No. I'm talking about
not somebody who produced on Watch the Throne. You can't be like, oh, he's up and coming.
What I'm saying is, in my opinion, what I think Hit Boy is more of a household name now, post Three Kings of these albums, than he was as the guy that made dope beats on Watch the Throne or dope beats on this or dope beats on that. That's what I'm saying.
I can't say that.
I think so. I think he's more of a household name now than he was outside of the heads. Because you know you always talk about that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Outside of the heads, I think he's more household now than he was.
Because there are people, and Nas loses this on the record because you got to listen, like who are still waiting on the Nas and Premier album.
Yeah. I'm one of them.
Because they're, you know, so the fact that it'd be one thing, I don't want to say Zaytoven. Zaytoven's been out here a long time.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And you can't. And the thing is, if Nas's lyrics weren't there, wouldn't matter how good the beats are. This is the thing about hip hop. It's not like being a running back in the NFL to where you just wake up one day and you cannot, you know, hit the A gap, you know, anymore because you know or your ankles go bad. If your mind is still sharp and you're still willing to put in the work and you actually care about lyrics, then like you can do this for 30 years. But you know, there are a lot of people like I said, 21 Savage. It is his season. Shout out to that young brother. But you don't speak on anyone else's relevance when they've been putting in work for 30 years.
The chat is going crazy. Dave said it happens in rock too. As related to what I'm talking about. So
it might be some issues in rock because I know like at one point. Poison and Guns N' Roses didn't get along, but it was personal reasons. But you would never tell. I don't think anybody who's like, that'd be like.
It's probably swapping STDs.
Wow.
See, I wouldn't go there.
Them thoughts was out there for them, man. You know. They was lining up.
But it'd be like if in the 90s, Silverchair or somebody tried to say, yeah, the Rolling Stones, they ain't it no more. And okay. It was like, Silverchair, who are you to say anything about the Rolling Stones?
Billy Ocean don't like Meatloaf, man.
What?
The food, not the artist.
Oh.
And like, and the thing is, you don't even hear about this in R&B. Like, I wish somebody would be like, man, get New Edition out of here.
I wish somebody would say, get New Edition out of here.
Well, you know, New Edition and Guy actually had a little riff.
Yeah, they were contemporaries.
They yeah, they're peers.
Yeah, you know, they're peers. And they've since, you know, figured it out.
What's
because
my boy's
even
name
on the Home Again tour, like, you know, New Edition toured with Blackstreet. I mean,
what's
my
boy's
guy,
name
still
that
Teddy Riley.
What's my boy's name that says he's the king of R&B? That just be randomly singing in spots.
Who's Jacquees?
Jacquees. That Jacquees can't be like, man, Usher need to sit down somewhere. Well, while he got a residency in Las Vegas.
And
like,
I ain't heard a Jacquees record.
I still ain't. Does he have an album? Terry, you got it?
What album?
Jacquees album. Have you heard it?
No, sir.
You got one?
I'm sure he probably does. I just haven't heard it.
Oh, I figured you might have a Jacquees album.
How you figure that, man?
I don't know.
Chill out.
All right. But you get what I'm saying. No, he can't say, man, Usher go sit down somewhere. No, he can't. He can't say that.
He can't say Usher's not relevant. He doesn't have a song. Like, this is the thing. A lot of times people measure, do you have a song playing in the club or the strip club or is it coming out of people's cars right now? It's like, that's not a real measuring. Look, people went to the store to buy Nas's albums.
Exactly.
Like, Nas, I've listened to 21 Savage albums because they just go straight to my phone and I'm not that invested in it. I can like the music, but I was like, I didn't have to go to the store and drop $14.99 on this.
I went to the Wu-Tang concert
yeah.
with Nas and me, for me personally, Nas...
Mm-hmm.
was the headliner.
Okay.
In my personal opinion.
Over Buster?
Buster came out last and he didn't even. He's the best overall performer.
Right.
But seeing Nas perform those songs.
That's GOAT level, man.
It hit different to me than hearing Wu-Tang.
I'm a
Wu-Tang fan.
So am I.
But I was more of a fan of hearing Nas perform. And then back to the whole 21 Savage thing.
Yeah.
Like he said, he's flying pretty much under the wings of Sassy Drake right now based on the album. So he's feeling himself essentially. But I do like it's not everybody that feels that way from that generation.
I got it.
Because he mentioned Glorilla on the album.
Which
and Glorilla was honored. She
as she should be.
He made a post talking about how she was happy that, you know what I'm saying, he shouted her out. Black said that 21 Savage is tripping and that Nas is cold. What are you talking about?
And Kodak Black, to his credit, was smart enough to know how to make a play on his Kendrick Lamar feature in, you know, narration or whatever you want to call it. I never saw him once say anything sideways. One, because only the goofies were like, man, only thing I listened to on Kendrick's album was Kodak's interludes and all that type of stuff. Yeah. But Kodak wasn't stupid. He was like, nah, I'm going to respect this guy because I know he's legendary. He's one of the all-time greats, and I'm about to eat off the fact that he brought me in on this project that is one of the most discussed projects of the year. I never saw him get out of pocket on that.
Album of the year.
Kodak's going to win a Grammy this year.
That's what I'm saying, bro. And he was smart enough to I could see he's smart enough to understand the opportunity.
He's about to make up for that BET award that he lost.
Bro.
Isn't that wild? Kodak going to mess around and not have a BET award, but he's going to
get
a Grammy.
Yeah. And Kendrick threw him a lob, and he slam dunked that mug. Mm. If we're going to be honest,
it's just kind of bringing it full circle. It's the fact, it's kind of like how you wouldn't expect J. Cole and 21 Savage to make such great music together, but they do.
That's they do. They mesh.
You know
and
what I'm saying?
And that's the whole thing. I have a problem because we've been giving 21 Savage props.
We've been giving him his flowers.
And then he comes out sideways on this mess. It's kind of.
Terry just said, it's been within a month. Terry just said, he was like, man, shout out to 21 Savage. That boy out here rapping. You just said that two or three weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I am a fan of 21 Savage, but the thing is, this is what happens when, and even though like 21's like 29, 30 now.
He's 30.
You don't, like, whenever you put your first record out, somebody was like, yo, say you're 30 years old when you start doing comedy.
Right.
You know how old you are in the comedy game? You're one.
Wow. Yeah.
And so, like, when you speak to comics who have been in this for 25 years,
right,
you could be close in age or maybe you're close in success. Because maybe
don't do that, Eddie Murphy.
Maybe you hit real early and this person hit late. But, you know, if I wanted to start doing comedy, I got out and I did like a fire 30 minutes and like I'm just known and I'm out here getting this money. If I met somebody like George Wallace, some of y'all know who he is.
He actually has a residency.
I met George Wallace, I would say, hello, Mr. Wallace.
As you should.
Because this is somebody who has laid the groundwork, who is solidified in the game.
Respect on it.
You know, and this is what a lot of young rappers, just because so-and-so's not in the same rooms as you, or they don't have the same, they're not on the radio or on the street, in the clubs like you, you got to understand, if they've been doing this for 15, 20 years, even if you can't feel it, you are to give them respect.
100%. I agree 100%. We just going to call this a L. Just take this one real quick.
21.
Yeah, we not saying we don't rock with you.
We're just saying young man, you are no position to say anything about. Look, you are no position to say anything about Nas.
Yeah,
regardless of your success, regardless of you having a number one record this week.
This man been in the game as long as you've been alive.
Yeah, lead out with a loan, bro. Lead out with a loan.
You know, 21 Savage, nobody has ever gone, you are young enough to where nobody's ever gone to the store and bought one of your records.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, Nas, at one point, three or four million people would get their check, cash it, you know what I'm saying, get enough money to get in their car, go to the record store, bro, and buy Nas records.
Shout out to my homie Jesse. We were at the record store buying Stillmatic. I was coming out, he was coming in. I knew exactly what he was copying.
Like I remember,
Stomatic.
I remember I had to make a decision when I Am came out, because it came out the same week as Stakes Is High, and I only had enough money for
yeah.
one.
Yeah,
I'm about Stakes Is High, but
those are early 90s, mid 90s.
That was 96. I remember I came home from my freshman year of college. I was working at the Keys and Engraving Department at Sears, and like the little Camelot Music was right outside where I was working. And I remember, I knew I had to put gas in the car, and you know, have a little money for lunch. So I didn't have enough money to buy two CDs.
I paid $26.99 for Wu-Tang Forever, $24.99 for Wu-Tang Forever.
It was 20 something.
26, maybe 24, 26. And I remember my mama was like,
it would have been 30 at Best Buy if you didn't buy it the first week.
Yeah, that's why you had to get them CDs the first week.
My mama was like, how much is that CD? I said, Mom, it's like $24.99 or something like that. She said, how many?
Your mom had to buy it for you?
No, I had the bread. She was checking me because I was spending my money on the seat. Don't do that.
Just saying, she would have been a cool mom if she bought you Wu-Tang Forever.
I mean, she would have.
You could have been. Did you try to say, but mom, it's an enhanced CD.
I tried.
Look at this, mom.
I tried. I said, mom,
I can put it in a computer. It's almost educational.
I said, mom, I can put it in the computer to drive and watch it. They got some extra stuff on it. She was like, yeah, all right. But I bought it. And look, I had it in my Discman, and you couldn't tell me nothing.
I had a friend of mine, like, she brought her Wu-Tang Forever from Target and wasn't paying attention. And she hit play. And it was like, version. It's Wu, mother.
Hey, I bought their first
Wu-Tang,
album.
Wu-Tang, mother.
I got their first album by accident. It was a clean version. I accidentally clicked the clean box on my BMG.
Yeah. You was hurt, weren't you?
Yeah. It was
A lot more kung fu kicks and sword swings and bees.
He said Wu.
I had to buy that mug twice.
Let's talk monologues. Let's talk Chappelle. You know, Chappelle's been associated with hip-hop.
What? Who is this Dave Chappelle you speak of?
He's been associated with hip-hop since, what made him pretty much be hip-hop? Was it the Block Party? Is that what brought him over?
No, because he had the show before that. And
good point.
Even
good
before
point.
That.
Good point.
Technically, if you want to talk about Half-Baked, not necessarily that it was a hip-hop movie, but I mean, it was.
I ain't rock with Half-Baked like that, though. I ain't rock with Half-Baked.
Spots in there.
It's funny here and there, but I didn't rock with the whole movie.
Tripping.
It was cool.
I mean, man. I didn't see the movie theater. You know,
it was cool. But
when it hit a VHS, like, we were renting that on a regular.
The Chappelle show and the performances, to Terry's point, it's like Common and Kanye doing the food. Like, that made the album for B, I believe.
Well, the fact that he would have people on the show that weren't, it was people really, like, he would have most. And Yasin Bey.
They were just on the show.
And Talib Kweli doing songs that weren't particularly on the radio.
True.
You know, he'd have Erykah Badu do songs and it wasn't a single.
He has been associated with hip hop a long time. Y'all right.
Even when he had like Slum Village, like, you know, he wasn't getting the people who probably. He was probably getting who he could get at that time. Because
I think he was getting the people he could get, but it's also people that he rock with.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
He had DMX on too.
Yeah, DMX on there. He had
because that first Block Party was lit.
Not Mayor Hawthorne.
John Mayer.
John Mayer was like at the top of his game then.
Bro, the first Block Party was what? Lauryn Hill, Common, Kanye, Questlove was there.
But this is now super famous Dave Chappelle. He could pull all this.
Good point. That's a good point. I say that.
You talking about that first look, go back and look who was guests on the first seasons of the Chappelle show.
I feel you. I respect that. That's a good point because he's been associated with hip hop for so long, man, and rightfully so. But he had did y'all see his monologue on SNL? Everybody seen it?
Yes,
absolutely.
Okay. So the narrative is being painted that he's almost backing.
It's absolutely false.
You already know what I'm about to say. First of all, Dave Chappelle is brilliant, man, as a comedian. And his wordplay and the way he lines things up, he's just dope. Like, he's just dope. But call me crazy. I didn't expect anything but this to come from his monologue. And I knew it was going to come, but I didn't think it was going to come this fast. I started seeing articles next day. Oh, man, he co-signs this. He co-signs that. And I'm like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing?
It's kind of proving a point, essentially.
You beat me to it. Hey, you beat me to it.
Just saying, it's kind of proving a point, whether you wanted to hear it from Kanye. I mean, his was absolutely clouded and didn't
It wasn't articulate at all.
Right, it's not art. Well, that kind of goes with everything he says.
Kanye's execution is always trash.
It's always trash. In my personal opinion, Dave Chappelle did what he did in that monologue with taste.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It came down to he demonstrated that you can say whatever you want. He had a whole show where he mocked himself, his culture, and everybody else. And this is
his own
actually
show.
His show. This is what made him step away from the limelight.
Right.
Because he felt like people were laughing at him and not with him.
Right.
But he was making fun of everybody equally.
Right.
And they laughed at him and called him crazy for going to Africa and for not taking that money and going on with the show. But once he eloquently kind of put a comedy twist on what's going on, and he didn't side with anybody on it.
That's the
part. He actually said that usually whenever Kanye West gets into something, I'm pretty much on the next thing smoking.
Yeah.
Go be with him. And then this happened. I was like,
yeah.
I don't know about this one, man.
And I laughed.
Yeah, exactly.
I laughed.
Yeah. He made comedy relief. We need to get away from this place of where you're not letting comedians be comedians. They're supposed to do this.
That's been trending for the recent years in terms of the censorship, if you will, of comedians, because now outside of the OGs, people are starting to think about that. You hear comedians talk about tiptoeing through their sets. The old Corey Holcomb ain't tiptoeing through a set.
He's a different breed.
He's not going to tiptoe through a set. Lavelle Crawford is going to do what he's going to do 100% of the time. Like there's guys out there that are still OGs.
Lavelle Crawford isn't a controversial.
Yeah, he's not a political.
Is that a bad example?
That was a bad example.
What about fair enough. What about who am I?
Shout out to him, but that was just a bad.
No, Lavelle is dope. He's dope. Who are other comedians that you would think that just continue to rock how they rock? I know Corey Holcomb is one of them.
I think people have pulled back some.
You think so?
I think people have pulled, but even with Dave's comedy,
yeah,
he's calling it out.
He is,
but he's not calling it out in the same way he would have called it out in early 2000s. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, that's fair.
This is the thing. It's funny to me. It was like, why are you taking comedians so seriously?
Yeah.
That's
just antithetical to what they're actually doing. But that's, you know, it is what it is. Because some people take everything seriously.
Check this out. Lone says, real quick, Jaden, I'm coming right back to you. Lone says, climbing is different. Shout out to Lone. He's in the chat. He said, the climbing is different. He says, you have to grow with the times. He says, we have always taken comedians serious. Those are Lone's comments.
Okay, well, this is the thing, and I've said this. I think I had this jersey on last time I said it.
Shout out to the hat too.
You know, when we were talking about Dave and the whole situation with the transgender community, and I made the point, I was like, "Do you want to be equal, or do you want to be treated special?" And you got to understand,
like Meg Thee Stallion.
You got to understand when a comedian, like, it sometimes it's just your turn, depending on what's going on in the world, you know. And the thing is, and we got to really look at how all of a sudden it has become in vogue to police black speech. Now, mind
Absolutely.
You, Kanye, he jumped out the window saying some stuff that he had no business saying. I'll say that because when he says, I'm a little sleepy right now, but I'm going to go DEFCON 3 because he doesn't know the terminology. And I guess because I know what he meant, because like I said, I'm a fan of War Games. I know, first of all, should have been
DEFCON,
but that's neither here nor there.
Fam just be talking, man.
Like, and then with Kyrie,
bless his heart, as my granddaddy said.
I said it last week. I don't even think he watched the documentary. He just, like, when you're in a certain place of youth of stunted enlightenment, sometimes you're just so happy to see something that you think lines up with your worldview. But with Dave, I think what he said was well thought out. But I just remember there was a specific segment where he said, you know, if it's the Italians, it's a mob.
Yep.
If it's black folks getting together, it's a gang. And if it's the Jewish community, then it's like coincidence and we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's like people are saying, oh, you see how anti-Semitic that is? And it's like, well, did you hear what he just said about the Italians?
It went white over your head.
Hear what he just, the setup was blacks and Italians, but all you heard was the Jewish community.
Thank you.
So this is where because when I saw the statement from whoever at the ADL, I was like, you didn't even listen to this. Just the same way Kyrie didn't watch that movie. You just had a template ready to go to already condemn this particular thing, and you didn't even listen to it for the comedic timing. You didn't listen to it for the comedic content, or you just you didn't listen to laugh. You listened
were
to,
waiting. You were waiting
to be offended.
Exactly. There it is. And there it is, Terry.
I think, you know, and I tell people, man, if you're going to go to see any comedian, especially to see him live and it's not being taped, like you are, there's chances are somebody's going to say something. Like, he's going to say something about women. He's going to say something about black people. Like, that is the nature of live comedy. Like, the thing is, Dave never stopped doing the comedy he would do inside, outside.
But what you said was a interesting point where you talk about.
I told you, I saw Dave Chappelle here in Indianapolis.
I know,
and
I know.
Like three or four people walked out.
Yeah,
but,
I did too.
But you said something with that joke when you were talking about the two races that he mentioned prior to, and that part went over everybody's head because they were waiting on the punchline, the punch.
So they could be like, aha, there it is.
There it is. That's what they were waiting on. They were waiting on that.
But this is also the thing, and don't get me wrong, I realize because I'm aware, I read, I see things, I understand that anti-Jewish sentiment, especially since 2016, has taken off. Like when I didn't realize how bad it was until Charlottesville, when the tiki torches were out and talking about the Jews will not replace us. I was like, where is this coming from? I didn't know it was this.
That's a real thing.
But that's a thing.
Yeah.
And it didn't go away at Charlottesville.
Facts.
And I understand, and I've seen, you know, because, you know, I remember when there was a synagogue in Pittsburgh that, you know, had experienced a level of violence. And, you know, it was like, you know, because a lot of times people say, this isn't who we are. And a lot of times, yeah, it is. This is who we are. I understand that, but I also understand, and this is something I haven't seen in the news, is that on election day last Tuesday, like 9 black churches in Mississippi caught on fire.
Mm. Right.
Okay, so I understand that you're under a certain level of pressure, but it's the same level of pressure and fear that certain folks that look like me or have been under for the entire time we've been here.
Let's jump in the chat real quick. I'm going to come to you, Terry, real quick. I want to throw this one at you and see what you say. I believe it's Smooth Hoosier says, where is the line for comedians? Where should the line be drawn for comedians? Because we grew up on Richard Pryor and Red Fox. Red Fox was one of the, man, don't even get me started on Red Fox in terms of how savage he was with his stand-up, which was still brilliant, still dope. Where is there a line that can be drawn for comedians? Like, that's what one of the questions that popped up. Just as a consumer now, I ain't saying a professional.
I mean, as a consumer,
how do you feel?
Everybody, people don't feel the same way or aren't as, I know we're in this free thinking era all of a sudden.
And the times that we're in, people, also goes into the equation, right?
But people aren't into necessarily being as outspoken and offensive. Because, I mean, comedians are naturally offensive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
100%.
There is a line that you have to toe. I don't know what that line is. Honestly, okay. I don't know.
I'll tell you what the line is. Was it funny? If you went there to laugh, you know, sometimes there are people who go to comedy shows looking to be offended.
And they
want to talk back and say, that's not funny. And I'm a woman or something. Because a lot of times, you know, there are comedians like Corey Holcomb is hard on women. But
he's
raunchy. You know who was the king?
He's hilarious.
I don't want to say that. I'll say it. Putting women in their place, but like in a way that was still funny.
Right.
Was Patrice O'Neal.
Patrice O'Neal.
Legend. And
because it's funny when you talk to like when a woman says, "Oh, I love Patrice O'Neal." I said, "No, you're not. You don't love because you do the same goofy stuff that he made fun of women for doing." But you got to understand, there are people and they get all shocked when they go to see. Look at a Netflix special. Just pick one.
Uh huh.
And there's going to be something that you're like, ooh, that was a bit much. Because
every single time
we get so excited about Dave Chappelle because he's at the top. And he went through all this thing with The Closer. And so there are people who listen to Dave Chappelle looking to be offended. They don't even listen for the jokes. They're just sitting there with their arms folded like, wait till this happens. And then I'm going to write a think piece, even though I'm a loser of some. I'm tired of it. Because this is where the backlash comes in. And I don't want to say about political correctness, because it's not political correctness sometimes. Because, like, what happens in a comedy club, it used to be known that that's not how you speak to people and carry yourself when you're in the real world.
I mean,
this person is on stage putting on a show, and when they get off of the stage, then you're supposed to go back to your real life and act like you have some sense.
It used to be that way. It used to be, I'm going here to be entertained. I'm going to laugh. He's going to say stuff that he or she is going to say stuff that might offend me. Or I'm coming here, like Jay Moore said, to be offended or sit in the front row and go against the comedian. It used to be that way. People just could separate the two. Now they're intertwined. Everything has to be, everybody's got to be careful because we don't want to offend anyone. And that all these comedy shows now, bro, there's so many comments that there's so many clips and stuff that you see on YouTube that people have ripped. And then all you see in the comments is I'm offended. I'm offended. I'm offended. I'm offended.
So Lone, So Lone is bringing up, he says that trans people can be offended at trans jokes from non-trans people, which
say
is
absolute. Again?
Trans people can be offended.
Uh-huh.
Can be offended at trans jokes from non-trans people.
Okay.
Same if I'm a white dude making jokes about black people.
Okay.
Because I think there's a line somewhere in there.
Yeah, the line is the jokes better be funny.
That's true. But when you put a joke in context, it's not, I don't think it's malicious in the way that he's telling these jokes. I don't think he's telling these jokes in a manner to want to be uber or ultra offensive to any one race, color, or creed.
Intent is important.
Right.
To your point, intent and what are the words that we always, context. Intent and context are very important.
Now, somebody else brought up Kramer saying the N-word in a show. That was just being blatantly racist.
There was no joke there.
Yeah, there was no joke.
Thank you. Thank
and isn't he Jewish?
I don't know.
I don't know either,
he was on Seinfeld, so 50-50.
He was basically just being racist. He wasn't telling jokes at that point.
Right.
But,
right.
I mean, and this is you know, because I remember when we talked about Dave Chappelle last time, and I thought, man, did I say something that maybe could have offended some? Because my intention on this show is never, you know, is to speak my mind, but never to offend anybody.
Right.
We don't want you to stop speaking your mind. None of us.
Yeah, but then I said, you know, and I hated when I called a friend of mine who is a member of the transgender community, and I said, hey, so and so, because I'm not going to put their name out there in case they don't want to. They don't want nobody else hitting them up and asking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I hate to be call your transgender friend and ask some questions.
Mm-hmm.
But I sent him the clip and we had a whole discussion about what I said. And she said, you weren't wrong, but that's from my perspective. You know, I didn't think what you said was wrong. But also, and I asked, would you rather him make the jokes or, you know, you come to find out he doesn't make jokes about this, your particular community.
Right.
Because he's like, oh, you know how they are, so I'm just going to leave them alone.
Right.
Then that would have been offensive.
Thank you.
And once again, that was a part of my argument saying, do you want to be treated special or do you want to be treated equal?
I mean, when, like Terry just said, that's when you talk about you know how they are. When you say that, boom. That's
how a lot of people, you know,
exactly.
They'll joke about anybody except somebody in the Jewish community.
Go.
You know how black people, we always be like, what do you mean by you people?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's one of those situations.
Yes.
So. Mm-hmm.
It's in America, man. There's so much gray area now. Everything has a huge, thick layer of gray area.
Well, a lot of it, I think, has to do with we're making people not be offensive to black people because they still are very offensive to us regardless.
I agree.
Like I said it before, Chappelle literally made a whole show that had bits and pieces of, I mean, he played a black Klansman.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you the people I was working with in corporate America ate that bit up.
I'm talking about.
They loved it.
Yes.
And they laughed and like belly hurt and laughed at that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even the part where he pulled up to the car for the white kids and he called them the N-word. You know what I'm saying? And they were so excited about that.
Yes.
Like, I mean, we've been the butt of the joke forever and grinned and buried it. So it's not like we're new to being offended. And I can't tell anybody how to be offended or whatnot.
Look,
you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy about what you just said?
What?
The fact that you just said, I can't tell anyone how to be offended about something.
Like, I can't, but My whole point that I'm making is we weren't protesting everything that was being done or
I got you.
Or mad at Chappelle for making fun of us, essentially.
I got you.
It was more so mad at, and I wasn't ever mad about the Chappelle Show. I was mad at, you know, how he was talking about people were laughing at him and not with him.
Yeah.
I get that situation. But even at the end of his shows, he would have talks with the audience about the material.
Straight dialogue.
Like, how did this make you feel and things like that. So it wasn't all the way just, you know, shucking and jiving, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It was more so an educational piece.
Jay Moore, I want real quick, and then we'll go to our partners on this. They say I want you to end it here. Mm-hmm. You know, just be quick and end it, and then we'll go to our partners. But go ahead.
Well, I just wish that people were as upset about what Tommy Tuberville said about these criminals don't deserve reparations when he said that at a political rally. I wish y'all would be as upset about that as when Dave Chappelle was just telling jokes on Saturday Night Live. And I'll leave it at that.
There it is.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the New Old Heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Let's transition back into more of a hip-hop topic. Lil Durk says he's going to stop speaking on the dead in his raps. I'm going to get a couple excerpts here from the interview, and then we can kind of jump into if we think this is going to be substantial, if it's going to have any weight or not. Because Durk is, he say he's the voice. He's always said that. And fam is extremely popular around the world. So when he says he's the voice, I believe him when he says that. He says, even if you do 99% of it's right, you still got 1% of the demons with you. You get angry fast, and one reply can F up $1 billion. That's why I'm not saying names no more in my music. I ain't speaking on the dead no more. None of that. And he also says, I'm not chasing death no more. I'm chasing $1 billion. I want our kids to grow up safe and sound, be able to have fun, and have a real life, is what he says. But that first comment, it kind of speaks to, yeah, I want to clean up, but I want to clean up because it's messing, it might impact my bag. If I took that wrong, y'all correct me. But the overall question is, with Durk saying this, Durk is very impactful. Durk's impact is crazy to me. I know it is. We know it is, especially in the Midwest, Chicago, just around the world. Durk is one of the top figures in hip hop. Say what you want, drill, whatever you want to call it. With him saying this, how do you guys respond to what he said? First, he talked about the bread and the implications that come with it because of, you know, how he might jeopardize himself. But he also talked about his personal demons and, you know, things of that nature. How do you guys think this will be received? Will this be something that he can spearhead as a trend, or is this just a blip and it sounds good in an interview and it's just a good comment? Terry, I come to you first. What do you think about Durk saying this? Is there impact here? Possible impact.
Chicagoans follow suit. I mean, I don't really see. Okay, all right. Let me take that back. With my previous thought, I'm not even gonna say it.
There we go. Never mind.
I think it's responsible to the families of the deceased, not to mention these people. You know what I'm saying? That lost their lives to gang violence. But not only should you not talk about the people that have died, you probably stop talking about killing people altogether. That's the root of the problem right there. Is killing people in general. Just because you don't talk about the exact person that you killed, you're still talking about a death of somebody, or not necessarily that you did it, but it may be a story. You know what I'm saying? You are the voice of the people.
Crazy subliminals. We know that. We know that.
So, I mean, you would essentially have to change your whole rap style in order to not be offensive, because if he's talking about certain things, just because he doesn't mention the exact name,
right,
the people that know will know how to read between those lines and sorry for what he's talking about.
So if would it be fair to say that you think it's a good start, but you don't necessarily believe in the actual impact, because he would have to change his whole 90% of his swag.
There's plenty
of
other people that are talking about smoking on such and such.
True, true.
So I mean, him doing it, I mean, I applaud him for taking a stance.
Because he's one of the bigger artists. That's what I'm saying. He's one of the bigger artists to do this. So the fact that he's actually saying it, I think it holds weight.
But generally,
it potentially holds weight.
Only this certain segment of music does the whole drill scene. It's the only one that does it.
Okay.
So How many drill artists are prominent, right?
Not as prominent as him. Nowhere close.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, the impact comes with him, but I see what you're saying because it's more, you know, death and unsolved killings and stuff that be happening in the Shy. And these are not necessarily, quote unquote, known, you know, artists or whatever you want to call it. So that's a good point.
Yo, King Von was going nuts on tracks.
Facts.
And he was actually out here doing that stuff or did it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's documented.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's documented.
It's well documented.
Yeah, it's documented. That's facts.
I mean,
it's
documented. You can read Twitter passages and all kind of stuff
about
it. Come
on, man. Come on. And please don't get into the comments with the responses.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that's facts. Jay Moore, talk to me, man. How do you feel about Lil Durk saying, you know, he's going to pull back on the op talk and the pack talk and, you know.
It means absolutely nothing.
Oh, you going zero.
It means absolutely nothing. Look, man, if anything I have observed in my time of observing this thing that has to do with hip hop is that rappers really are not leaders in the community. You know, hip hop has been trying to tell the streets to act right since Self-Destruction. You know what I'm saying? Hell, even before that, you know, I just remember Self-Destruction being such a big moment. Remember when, you know, of course we remember because we talked about it here extensively. When Nipsey died, and I remember people was like, man, I'm never going to talk about another rapper. I'm going to keep that to myself. Then it was maybe 3 months and everybody was back to the bull. I'm just saying, you know, people want to say, oh, it's great that these rappers say this. I love even when Gucci Mane, he said, you know, no more dissing the dead. That's great.
He said stop talking about ops. He said that.
Yeah, but
you know
what?
Stop smoking on packs.
And that's great. And that's great. I'm glad that it might be good for their particular brand. If I've seen anything at this point, as far as how the streets are related to what happens as far as hip hop is concerned, the streets don't be listening to y'all. They really don't. You know, and I'm not saying I don't want you to stop encouraging the streets.
That's
But at the same time, like Durk could come out here and sing about flowers and going to school and respect your parents, and Chicago is still going to be Chicago.
Let me jump in
because
the chat.
There are underlying reasons for why those things are happening. It has nothing to do with Lil Durk, and Lil Durk can't stop it.
Let me jump in the chat real quick. Terry, I'm coming back to you. Lone says, I don't buy into it being directly responsible for the violence that's being spoke about, though.
Yeah, that's more so why I was speaking on respectful to the families.
The families, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, essentially.
Because Lone said, and we've talked about this, Lone said it still goes back to the material conditions and so forth.
Yeah.
We talked about it before. Right. That's a good point. That's fair, Lone.
It's just
we hadn't had a rapper, to me, of this level that's actually from that, quote unquote, in that has said, I'm going to pull back from this type of talk. This is new. This is different.
Well, I mean, I think we've had the conversation about everybody talking about, yeah, we got to check in, got to check in.
Yeah.
And you know what? Look, as long as there are dusty gang members out here with low self-esteem, you know, there is no amount of checking in that's going to help. I don't care.
I don't think the guys that are telling you to check in are that dusty.
Yeah.
They got a lot of money and whole lot of respect and goons.
You know what?
It's not.
And resources.
Yeah, it's not, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not dusty behavior. It's more so.
Come on now. Come on now.
You might have that word. I just don't agree with it being dusty.
Okay, maybe dusty is kind of harsh, but I'm just saying like.
Not even that is harsh. It's just.
For all the checking in and make sure you do this, that, and the third, if you in certain places and people don't know how to
act. You're not the mayor, essentially. Yeah, I don't need to check in with you.
And there are people around you who don't know how to act, or you got something that they want. There is no amount of people you could check in with. And it's not like if, say, PNB Rock, whatever, had checked in.
Yeah. That fool and his son still would have been out there.
They still would have been in and saw something that he had that they wanted and were willing to take penitentiary chances for, you know, a temporary monetary relief.
Look at the Migos. They checked in.
Quote unquote, they had a problem with Jay Prince's son.
You know, I mean, and like I said, I brought up Nipsey. Nipsey didn't have to check. He was in his own city.
That's what makes him work. At his own store.
On his own property. And once
that was dusty.
Yeah, that was a dusty gang member who's just. And the thing is, you know, when we talk about
good point,
businesses
Terry,
and what. I'll say this, and maybe this will reach somebody and it'll make sense to them. Every time, you know, a rapper gets shot, Do you realize you're closing a black business?
Yeah.
You know,
I like that. I like
you know,
that.
I mean, when, you know, between, it might be your man might do beats. This dude over here might do graphic design. This dude is good at this. Like, you got people who have come from the street and found out a way to be managers and be legitimate businessmen because Big Dog got on and got some hit records, and we were all able to eat and find a way. He didn't just give us fish. He taught us how to fish. And so maybe that's the message that we need to be putting out here. Now you killed Takeoff. You didn't just kill an individual. Now there's like 20, 30, maybe 40 people who can't eat now. You burned down a black business.
Facts.
So maybe that's way. Maybe we need to frame it differently.
And I honestly think, in my opinion, I'm not no street person. I'm not that person. But the ramifications of this young man losing his life in Houston, in Texas.
It was Houston. Houston.
Okay, I'm going to make sure I'm right. Ramifications of this young man losing his life, how he lost it, the circumstances as it relates to checking in, all that type of stuff. Bro, the ramifications of this with people from Atlanta going to Houston and vice versa, like, this could get real bad, and it's all sad because I'm a
I mean, it's the same thing
know what I mean? Like, this could get ugly for no, like, it's just.
There are people who probably look at Yo Gotti some kind of way after Young Dolph. You know,
we're
a year out from Young Dolph. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, does it?
He still got to be cool.
I mean, in Memphis, you was either a fan of Young Dolph or Yo Gotti.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
And so, and at the end of the day, instead of seeing these like rivals, you know, and once again, like, the people who shot Dolph, like, they on trial now, you know what I'm saying? They're never coming home. And
those are dusty individuals.
When I say dusty, that's who I'm talking about.
That's a dusty. Those are dusty.
Like I said, they didn't even shoot. They didn't shoot him to take no money. They didn't shoot him. They just shot him to shoot him.
Right.
And what they did is, like, they just basically, now it's black children growing up with no father. Yeah. It's black woman growing up without her partner. And once again, now the Big Dog is gone, Young Dolph. Now that's a whole black business that you basically burn to the ground because you have low self-esteem and don't know how to act.
100%.
Situation in Black Wall Street.
You know, I hate to be all, you know, and this is going to come off as black Republican talk, but, like, now we're doing it to ourselves. You get mad at, you know, the other communities, whatever, you know, because that's come up a lot. I'm not going to say whatever. But, okay, we over there talking about what they doing to us, but what are we doing to us?
Exactly.
You know,
that always gets pushed to the side.
That always gets pushed to the side. And the thing is, like, and like I said, I that just came to me how we don't frame it as if you're burnt when you kill a rapper, burn down a black business in your own community.
I like that. I don't because now that
Nip is gone and that whole setup of Crenshaw and Slauson,
it's gone.
It's So now somebody else.
Marathon don't. It don't run the same way.
So
it,
now
it, it's not continuing no like you thought it
so
would.
So now they're gonna put a Starbucks or a Burger King or whatever.
Or they actually gonna come in and do what they was trying to do in the first place. Nip was actually blocking the city and state from taking that from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
He started buying it up. And he was still in a situation where he was blocking them doing certain things.
Shout out to LeBron too. He's doing a docuseries on I think Long put this in the chat on Nipsey Hussle as well, about I'm assuming it's about what Terry's talking about, how what he was trending towards.
Yeah, he was funding STEM projects.
All that stops now.
Yeah, right.
Because one person couldn't handle, you know, just being he didn't have the self esteem just to walk away, go home.
Fame,
you know,
ego and fame.
Cowards kill people.
You know, and so these cowards are every time they kill a rapper, they are burning down a black business that can never be restored because you cannot come back from death.
Let's talk snitch culture and hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We were talking earlier, and
I don't care about.
Here's my thing though. Akon says that if Young Thug takes a stand, he can know his rap career will be over. He'll have to do R&B or country because he's talented enough to do that. This is Akon's stance. But my question is more about the actual concept of snitch culture. It's more prevalent now than I've ever seen. Like, when we were coming up and listen to music. And yes, I'm being an old head here. I wasn't worried about if people were snitching. Now, the internet wasn't the same and the access wasn't the same, but Jay Moore talked about it earlier.
Everybody's always, it's not a hip hop thing. Let me go ahead and clear the air.
Are you sure?
I'm positive when I say that, because the whole snitching thing came from gangs back in the day.
No.
Before hip hop.
No, I agree with that. But what I'm saying is the platform that is used to talk about this, 8 times out of 10,
it's not a hip hop thing. It's more of a where you grew up, what kind of involvement you were in, and it carried over to hip hop because some of the stuff that they address
in their raps
can get them indicted, so to speak. We're talking about somebody that's indicted
100%
and are part of that life. When it comes down to snitching, though, if you're not part of that life, if you're not doing that, it doesn't apply to you.
Let me ask you this. Here's my devil's advocate question. If you're a blogger and you're online, right, and you're supposed to be a hip-hop site, hip-hop is your base, Jay Moore. Mm-hmm. Hip-hop is your base, right? So hip-hop is your base. Why are you reporting, quote-unquote, or making videos about artists snitching and not snitching? That has nothing to do with hip-hop. That's my question to you, J-Diff. Like, why is that so prevalent now? Because all I see is, you can look on YouTube and just scroll down and see snitching.
We talked about this before. Clout chasing.
Yeah.
You think it's based on 100%
of it? 100%. I mean, it's okay. Media. I mean, just like back in the day before we had social media, we know that they created or put a battery in the back of the East Coast, West Coast beef.
We know that.
Right?
Agreed.
We know that.
I agree with that.
It was heightened because of them. Now, if something happens 5 minutes ago, I can type up a piece real quick.
Right.
So that you get online and search for it, which brings traffic to my site.
Right.
Even though I have nothing to do with that. I mean, academics made his career off of Chicago, Chirac, and has never been to Chicago. That speaks volumes in itself right there.
That's fair.
It's all about getting the clicks, the likes, and the traffic.
Do you agree with me when I say it's more prevalent now than it has been in the previous years? Just based off social media and everything. Because it hasn't been as prominent, in my opinion, as it is now. The conversation of snitching as it relates to rap and hip-hop.
The faster everything gets.
Right.
Which is what's going on. I mean, the longer we're here in this internet age, which is going to last our whole lifetime,
you're right.
I think that's just going to be the case, man. You have people that make themselves a media outlet, and they are reporting the news.
Clout is a good word, too. Clout, yeah, clout chasing, and the concept of that's a good point. Jay Moore, jump in, man. What you think?
Man, people,
what you think about Akon saying this?
First of all, people have been snitching.
100%. We know that. We know that.
Do I think Young Thug, if he got on stand and started snitching, he'd be able to have a career?
He has a RICO charge, bruh.
What I'm saying is, if he gets now this pie in the sky type stuff, right? If Young Thug gets up there and talks a lot and finds himself out with everybody else still in there, that's what Akon is talking about. What is his career going to be after that?
He'll be just fine.
You think he'll be just fine? He can go back to rapping about that.
These people don't agree with that.
Young Thug is from a different. Young Thug came up from a different upbringing and rose with a different type of people than a 6ix9ine did.
I don't agree with that. Yeah,
so I don't
think
he can go back to Atlanta or wherever he's from if he's doing that, especially if he put all these people on and they were involved in it too. He's not going to be able to do music no more. He's going to have to go into whatever they call it.
It'd be hard for him to get some collaborations, but
Akon was thinking, he's like, man, he's talented enough to do country, R&B, or whatever.
Or you know what? You're right, man. He'd go overseas. Trust me, if he got up
there, he can go overseas and get some money.
You know,
they're going to pay.
And a lot of times that overseas money is bigger than it is here in the United States
of
America.
Thank you, Jay Moore.
Unfortunately.
That's why people don't have no problems with
it. Unfortunately, he's black. Unfortunately, he's black.
Yeah.
And somebody will have a bullet with his name on it, unfortunately.
Look,
I'm just saying.
I'm not trying
That's
to.
Real.
But, you know, think about all the, how many rappers we lost in the time since 6ix9ine been out here. And he ain't been touched.
That's
George
true.
Zimmerman ain't been touched either.
You know,
he's not a rapper.
I mean, but going back,
how many young black men have been touched by the hands of bullets that did less than snitching?
Yeah, I mean, and when we talk about
that are rappers,
good
you know,
point.
Think about think have good any point. Have you know when we talk about checking in, this is the thing that drives me crazy. It's like, do we ever make sure that these like George Zimmerman checks in? Do we
he
ever
never
make,
has to check
do
in.
We ever make sure the dude who the, I don't even want to say his name because it makes me angry. The cop that shot Mike Brown, does he have to check in?
Nope.
No, they get to go wherever they want. Go,
but when they look
whatever,
like you,
and when they do whatever
my,
they
the
do,
that's the point I'm making. When they look like you. They're a threat. So they see Young Thug as a threat because these cats are still in the streets.
Thank you.
So he can't walk the streets like that because they going to picture him as, you telling on me or something, blah, blah, blah. The dude that killed Nip killed him because Nip said, I heard that you was snitching.
Right.
I heard there was some paperwork.
I heard
you.
It was some paperwork and behind you snitching.
But, and even with that, because this is why, like I said, it drove me crazy to hear the story about how the witness, the cat cowboy,
yeah,
had to say, like, because it's to make sure that he didn't get off for killing Nip. You know, he said it wasn't a crime of passion. Like, this dude walked, Nip shook his hand, he walked off, and then he came back.
They dragged
and
cowboy
they mad
back.
At cowboy.
They dragged him for that.
And I was that, you know,
they dragged him for that.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'm those are the messed up morals and rules that we live in by this. Once again, this having black businesses burned down.
Young Thug was really out here involved in that stuff.
Bro,
6ix9ine was a paid gangster.
Yeah.
He wasn't raised
at all.
Behind that, it was more so he got on and was extorted. He became a blood. Fake blood. And he pretty much snitched on all of them.
Bro, but Smooth Hoochie just said, if 6ix9ine is good, Young Thug will be good. I don't believe that. I don't agree with that.
First of all, 6ix9ine ain't good. 6ix9ine is like...
He's protected.
He spends a lot of money on protection.
Well, and also, once you work for the feds, you never stop working for
the
feds.
Right.
And, you know, and I can't remember what song it was that Jay-Z said. It's like, you know, you always in jail, just minus the bars.
Come on. Remember when he randomly ran up on Meek Mill?
Yeah.
Imagine what that was about. There was never Clout. Anything. I mean, like he just said, once you're running with the Alphabet Boys,
yeah,
essentially it's trying to provoke Meek Mill. It probably was a battery that they put in his back.
100%.
This is hypothetically speaking.
No, I understand,
you know,
but it was a battery.
Who else? I mean, Meek Mill is all about this prison reform.
What did they say?
They got this dude
allegedly,
that just told on a whole gang
on,
of people
man.
And
come
he's
on,
out now and
come on, man.
Just randomly runs into Meek Mill
come
and
on,
wants
man.
To start trouble with him.
That was 100% clout because you can see.
That was a trap.
And a trap because you can see the people with their phones out like, yo, I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
You should see people recording just to be like, yo, we got to get this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that Young Thug.
I agree
able
with you
to
on
move
that.
The same way as 6ix9ine.
I agree I with you on don't. That. I'm not in the camp of him being cool if this happens. I'm not in that camp because the circumstances between him and, you know, a person like 6ix9ine are completely different to Terry's point.
Because he was actually really out there in the trenches getting it. I mean,
yeah. And this dude was calling hits and all that type of stuff, but he really was just the cash cow, like
look,
people just indicting you, extorting you for bread.
Look, I don't know. We have some people who are listening or who might see a clip of this or whatever who are fans of Young Thug.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna let y'all know right now. Even he's gonna do at least 10 years,
minimum.
Yeah. Because when I'm looking at the indictment, like even if the RICO stuff it falls apart, they found drugs in his house.
Yeah.
And weapons.
And they found weapons. A weapon, and they found, I'm not going to go into what a switch is.
Yeah, leave that alone. Yep.
Y'all know what a switch carries? If you get
that's
pulled
10
over,
years.
Yeah, the switch on the gun is an automatic 10 years.
Yep.
You
off
know.
Top.
So unless somebody wants to take the weight on that, Young Thug going to do at least 10 years.
So, you know, it's just the fact that Akon said that. I just wanted to talk about just the concept of how that's been pushed more. It's been pushed forward. Like, you see it all the time. Like, there's so many websites where is this person snitching? Is that person snitching? And then the YouTube page says hip hop news.
Everybody hides everything behind hip hop. This hip hop that. I mean, hip hop.
I agree.
The hip hop term doesn't even mean hip hop anymore.
Nah, hip hop can
just
mean
dudes that rap who got in trouble.
Yeah, hip hop can mean so many things at this point. I agree with you there. Yeah, I agree
Long
with you.
Long said 10 years in the hole. That sounds like something Mike would say.
Even they hate on you, even when you. Even I mean, he's right. Just across the country, they just gonna still hate on you, huh? He right
when,
though.
When he know you, you know you.
Yeah, I know a long time.
It sound like something you say.
Yeah. Would I say that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I said that sound like something Mike would say.
I know people that's been in the hole. I ain't going to say no names, but
no,
I know.
Don't.
Yeah,
no,
I do.
Don't.
I do. I definitely do. I definitely do. I know people that's been in the hole. But it's cool, though. I ain't going to put them out there like that.
Oh, which good. Which
like the hole that...
Shawshank. In the hole.
The hole that... what's his name was digging in the movie holes?
No. I'm talking about...
What's his name?
I know what you're talking about. I ain't talking about that. I know people that have been in the hole like Shawshank.
Did they dig their way out?
Off traffic violations. And they put them in the hole.
In the hole. Don't nobody go to the hole.
First of all, nobody goes to the hole
because
you're in a county jail. There's no such thing as the hole in any county jail in America. You got to be in prison.
I wouldn't put my man out there like that, but he's had experience in the hole. All right, man.
You got to really have done
You have watched entirely too much Oz.
I haven't. No, I haven't.
You need to turn that off.
You had to have gone to prison.
Which
first
I have
off,
never been to prison.
And start some trouble in prison.
Yeah.
Or be disorderly.
Before you get to the hole?
Yeah. Before you get to the hole.
I know.
You don't just get locked up and go directly
be like,
to
all right.
Don't pass
to the hole,
go
you
directly
go.
To the hole.
NewOrleans.com for all the education you need this year. If you see it, like it, subscribe. What else? Patreon, subscribe for that. All that stuff. We appreciate the support as always.
Yeah, tell your friends and tell your enemies too.
Yeah, tell everybody. And shout
everybody.
Out to the, shout out to the chat as well. We appreciate the support. The chat has been lit. Shout out to our brother Lone. Really keeping the chat lit and taking a well-deserved vacation. We appreciate you, brother. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.